Chapter 17. Mara was ordered not to land at Gateway's main gate. "The Decontam area just inside's under quarantine," they told her, doubtless from the evacuation of infested Settlement 32. A young voice directed her northeast to a smaller, blasted-out landing area that was actually bordered by green plant growth. The scientists really had made progress here. The world was coming back to life. Whether or not it survived could depend on what she found out. A fringe of slender boarding tubes clustered from the northeast gate. Mara waited shipboard until Gateway's crew connected one to Shadow's starboard access hatch, then threw a thin cloak over her finery and hurried up the synthplast tube. Inside the huge Gateway dome to the southwest, she spotted a gray building 2 stories tall, ringed with lower constructs. Steam boiled out of one of the outbuildings. In an open area to her left, sandy soil had been raked into 2 short rows that suggested settlers' private gardens. To the right, behind a powder-blue city of tents, low ruins bit into the skyline. A distant rumble pulsed, some kind of digging or mining apparatus. Not bad for a refugee city. She pulled a deep breath. It even had good air, when most refugee settlements were stinking mudholes. Sympathetic administration. She decided to speak with Leia before she poked around. If her mysterious contact gave her trouble, she might have to leave in a hurry. The admin building's lower story was centered on a staircase instead of lift tubes, its duracrete blocks crumbly in spots. She climbed the stairs, found a door marked Organa Solo, and strode in. A familiar protocol droid stood inside.
"Good morning," he greeted her. "I am C-3PO, Human-Cyborg Relations."
"So I see."
Remaining in character, she dropped her cloak on a metal-framed chair and looked haughtily around the room. Large desk, cot, focus cooker, storage lockers. One room for all functions. But no Leia.
"I am Baroness Muling of Kuat. I wish to speak with the administrator."
The droid spread his arms.
"I am terribly sorry, Baroness. Administrator Organa Solo is engaged at present. We have had a series of rather vexing shipping problems. Perhaps I could deliver a message."
Mara shook her head, letting the masquerade lapse.
"You certainly can, 3PO. Tell Leia her sister-in-law wants 2 minutes.
C-3PO swiveled his head. She almost laughed at his perpetually puzzled expression, and just how appropriate it looked at the moment.
"I shall attempt to break her free, Baroness."
His voice sounded dubious.
"Wait here, please."
"I'm not going anywhere."
C-3PO swish-whirred out the door. He needed lubrication. If Leia was missing little details like oiling C-3PO, she was busy. The door opened again 40 seconds later, and Leia hustled in. She'd swathed her head in a white scarf, and her cheeks looked a little hollower, her eyes darker than Mara had seen before. She looked long and hard at Mara.
"It is you," she finally pronounced.
She leaned forward and embraced Mara, cautiously, as one overdressed diplomat would greet another. C-3PO backed away, shaking his head. Mara bent down to squeeze Leia's shoulders.
"I've got to talk with you."
"I didn't know you were in system."
"Just arrived."
"Is Luke with you?"
"And Anakin."
"Sit down. I could stand to sit a few minutes." Mara took the metal-framed chair, facing the large window. Steam from the outbuilding created a sort of exterior curtain. Leia sank into a similar chair behind the massive desk. Selcor had probably shipped it. Opposite the cot and cooking area, Mara spotted a pair of incongruously ornate wall sconces, crafted of dark iron in fantastic shapes.
"Can I get you something?" Leia asked. "We have the basics. Just a glass of water."
Leia sent C-3PO to the cooking area. While he clattered and poured, Mara caught Leia up to date on the military situation at Coruscant. She said nothing about the force-warm spot under her beltline. Instead, she related what she'd heard at Buru, and what else she'd found.
"A Romulan coat?"
Leia's eyebrows rose toward her white turban.
"I hope we don't end up with Red Knights of Life here."
She tapped the edge of her desk with a writing stylus, and her voice turned bitter.
"From 10 to 30% of our supplies aren't getting through. I just sent Jason to check on that."
Mara raised an eyebrow. Leia chuckled.
"Always in character, aren't you? It's a survival instinct. Don't change it for me."
C-3PO brought over a pitcher and two glasses. Mara drank deeply as Leia finished cataloging her recent troubles. The water tasted musty, and one admission obviously came hard. Leia had been 20 clicks from Han, and neither one knew it.
"We've put it behind us," she insisted, "but it'll take me a long time to live it down. For all they knew, I was back on Coruscant. I wasn't there for Jaina." "Jaina's grown up, Leia." "So she reminds me. You know, daughters are tricky. They're your closest friend and your worst competitor, all rolled up in a package that reminds you how you used to look."
Mara almost told her. Instead, she asked,
"Who made last week's Selkor report about seeding the toxic swamps?" "Dr. Kriar."
Leia turned to the masterboard on her desktop, touched a few panels, and nodded.
"My head researcher. He's a miracle worker. Why?"
That wasn't what Mara expected.
"What do you think of him personally?"
Leia shrugged.
"I'm sure 3PO tried to chase you off by telling you how busy I am. Well, it's true. And I haven't met Dr. Kriar. He's..."
The door slid open. Jaina strode in, wearing a gray flight suit, a narrow-rimmed cap pulled low, and a peculiar face mask. Mara felt a whisper of energy brush against her.
"Aunt Mara!"
Jaina exclaimed.
"Very good. I needed an introduction to get through to your mother."
Jaina's smile faded.
"Before you ask what's wrong, I was too close to a ship that blew. I should have perfect vision again in a couple of weeks. So whatever that fancy blur is you're wearing, it didn't even register."
Mara laughed. Jaina swept off her cap to display a faint brown stubble.
"Decontamination. Quite a mark of status in here."
Mara eyed Leia's white scarf.
"Was this necessary?"
"Maybe not," Leia said. "But the gesture was appreciated. A lot of refugees forget that my world was destroyed 25 years ago. They like seeing this. It reminds them I'm a refugee, too. We're already having minor problems with the Rin. What are they doing?" "Nothing. The problem is other people. They've grown up thinking Rin are baby snatchers and compulsive thieves. They're shunned. It's amazing how stoically they take that."
Mara said. Her mind shifted back to another subject.
"I need to speak with your Dr. Kriar, but I won't ask for an introduction, since you haven't met."
"I'll go with you,"
Jaina said.
"I'm not doing anything important at the moment."
"Can you see well enough?"
Mara demanded.
"If this Duros is somehow connected to Romamul, he might not be much of a host. Remember our reception there?"
Jaina laughed shortly.
"Don't worry. I can use the Force to amplify what I can't see. And don't tell me that isn't a justified use."
"It is," Mara murmured. "And I can use you. A real Kuati wouldn't travel without at least one servant. I've got some things back at the Shadow to dress you up."
She shot a glance at Leia.
"If you don't mind my borrowing your assistant for a few hours."
Leia flicked her hand.
She isn't at my beck and call, Mara. Even if your children ever come home, they aren't really yours anymore.
The research building was a showpiece. Banks of scientific instruments and devices, all manufactured on core worlds. Smooth, sterile white walls and acoustically textured ceilings. Its main floor was divided into six laboratories, looking exactly like labs on any other world, thanks to Cellcore. In each one, some experiment or another was humming. Mara found Dr. Kriar's lab and walked in. Two aides sat at a long lab bench. One supervised what looked like a titration experiment, involving a 6x10 array of transparent tubes. Another poured dollops of viscous liquid out of a flask into flat dishes. She waved Jaina forward.
"Good morning," Jaina said imperiously. "Is the doctor about?"
The near-tech, a hefty young man with a red mustache, set down a flask of cloudy liquid. "He's gone out. Said he'd be in Sector 7. Mara looked around at the scientific setup. According to the file she'd just studied, Dr. Kriar had produced plants and protozoans that were creating an arable zone, gleefully chowing down on soil toxins that would have killed everything but Fefza beetles.
"Very well."
Mara laid a hand on Jaina's shoulder. Jaina, dressed in the carpet-textured gown of a Kuati servant, clasped her opposite wrists inside her long draped sleeves. Mara had found her a braided wig.
"We can wait," Mara said.
2 hours later, Mara leaned one arm against a laboratory counter and fixed a still imperious stare on one of Dr. Dacid Kriar's human and Sullustan aides. Unlike Leia, Mara did have the time to hunt down Dr. Kriar, and as she told his technicians several times, she was perfectly willing to wait out the day. She amused herself striding around the laboratory, lifting flasks and examining culture gels, making the techs nervous. Finally, another aide, who'd been trying to center a row of tiny glass tubules under an array of slender nozzles, rocked back on his stool. He brushed hair away from his face.
"Baroness," he said wearily, "why don't you and your servant get a couple of breath masks out of the first floor storage bin? Go down through the tunnel and see if you can find Dr. Kriar outside in the swamps."
"Now we're getting somewhere." "You can see I am not dressed for swamp travel."
"The ground's dry around them. I'm sure he'd be willing to talk with a distinguished visitor."
Mara raised an eyebrow.
"If he returns in my absence," she said firmly, "direct him to follow the tunnel, you say?"
"Down the stairs, turn right. Last door on your right is storage. And be sure to get those breath masks. Right outside this building you'll see a covered stair. Admin let us dig our own route to the research fields, since the north gate's so far out of our way. We're in the soft rock zone. It only took a couple days."
"Very well."
Mara overlaid her voice with a measure of irritation.
"Emily, come along."
Jaina bowed slightly.
"Yes, Baroness."
Mara led the way downstairs, found the breath masks where the harried tech described, and headed straight for the tunnel entry. It dropped quickly at first, then more slowly, scantily lit by occasional overhead glow rods. Mara slowed enough to murmur,
"You're all right with this?"
Jaina shrugged.
"I've gotten used to feeling my way in the dark." "All right, back into character then, and stay in character unless I make it obvious that we're through play-acting." "Right,"
Jaina whispered. Mara led on. The tunnel gradually curved right, headed, she guessed, through the soft rock cliffs toward the flatland she'd seen on approach.
"Wait,"
she murmured. She backstepped several meters. she'd heard a faint change in their footsteps echo. At the darkest point between two glow rods, a side passage had been cut. A sheet of stiff fabric, roughly the shade of the surrounding stone, covered the passageway.
"Ah,"
Mara said, slipping back into character. She peeled the fabric away from the stone's edge and found a faint glow, illuminating a narrower passage.
"This way, I think."
She marched 5 meters to a 90-degree bend in the passage, turned left and found a sizable chamber. Standing beside a lab bench was a tall, slender Duros, holding 2 flasks of opaque brown liquid.
"Dr. Kriar."
Mara raised her chin.
"You are difficult to find. I hope you will make this journey worthwhile."
The Duros scientist set down his flasks.
"Madam," he said sternly, "this is my private research area. State your business."
The chamber's walls, floors, and ceiling were bare stone. Mara spotted a sleeping pad against an inner wall, and several elevated... were those reagent tanks? The petcock assemblies looked organic. In a compartment along one wall, she recognized an open water bath incubator, warmed by a flame from below. It looked like a storage facility. Jaina shuffled forward, keeping her hands inside the drape of her sleeves.
"Doctor,"
she said,
"this is Baroness Muling of Kuat. She has come to you with a grave concern."
Mara spotted a backless chair that had the look of a cut-out shipping crate. She strode toward it and seated herself. Finally, Kriar stepped toward her. His large red eyes seemed to glow.
"Why have you honored me with a visit, Baroness?"
"Even on other worlds," she said, "word has reached us of your fine work, your dedication. Indeed, Administrator Organa Solo calls you a miracle worker."
He spread his hands modestly.
"Duro,"
she said,
"has obviously been made a dumping ground for other species. My people may face a similar fate. Contact whom I met up in Buru City say that you are a close disciple of someone who is trying to turn that tide on behalf of your own people."
In the Baroness role, she usually got farther by piling flattery on a subject than by bullying. She piled it deeper. From the moment they entered the chamber, Jaina had sensed something odd. She hadn't encountered any Duros here. Her medrunner had been cleared directly to ground, without stopping in orbit. But she didn't like this guy. Hesitantly, she reached out with a flicker of the Force. How hostile was he, really? She felt nothing. She couldn't even find him. She kept her eyes lowered with an effort. She hadn't heard of Yuuzhan Vong masquerading as Duros, but if they could breed creatures that made them look convincingly human, this would be only a small step farther. The only way she'd know for sure would be to unmask him. One problem: the masker's activating spot was alongside the nose, and Duros had no noses. Kriar's face was only a blur anyway. Jaina hesitantly directed a flicker of the Force toward it. She stroked the spot on his face where she thought his nose would be, if he were human. Nothing happened. She tried stroking another spot, slightly left, away from the blur's center. Still nothing. Meanwhile, her mind raced. What if she needed to draw her lightsaber? She could hardly see the guy. He batted his face distractedly, the way a nerf herder might flick away summer gnats. But she'd practiced endlessly against remotes, sometimes blindfolded. Remotes had no more Force presence than a Yuuzhan Vong. She pressed outward again. Mara sat stiff-backed on Kriar's shipping crate, as if it were a baronial throne. Dr. Kriar had finally consented to explain some of his philosophy.
"Undermine local jurisdictions, and I..."
He flung up both knobby hands, but not before Mara saw something horribly familiar. Just below one of the dark folds that crossed his face, his gray hide rippled. A corner peeled back, exposing pale skin and the edge of a black tattoo. She sprang to her feet, seized her lightsaber out of her amethyst-colored tunic's folds, and activated it. Instantly, Jaina jumped back, whipping her own lightsaber from her dark, heavy sleeve. Blue-gray skin kept shrinking, revealing a skeletal face with bluish eye sacs. As if his hide had turned to liquid, the loose flap melted down inside his laboratory coat. Kriar stood his ground, laughing. For all Mara could see, he was unarmed.
"Don't move," she warned him. "You're not wearing armor, and you're vulnerable."
Kriar's laughter died, and his pale lip curled.
"Mara Jade Skywalker, is it? Why aren't you dead?"
Caught off guard, Mara demanded,
"Have we met?"
The Yuuzhan Vong tossed back his hideous head.
"No wonder the New Republic can't hold on to a galaxy. Even its so-called heroes are stupid. Yes, we have met. I've nearly killed you."
Jaina took one step closer.
"I know that voice,"
she muttered.
"You should," the alien growled. "Let me give you a hint."
"Romamul."
Jaina held her lightsaber low.
"You're Nomanor. You tricked people into believing you were human. Then you tricked them into thinking you were killed."
He inclined his head.
"You at least approach worthiness. But you are not worthy yet."
Mara gripped her lightsaber, thinking back to another meeting with Nomanor at Monor II. The native Sunesi had invited several hundred diplomats to the accession of their 10th priest prince, Agapas the 10th. Some trigger-poppy splinter group had threatened a minor diplomat from Coruscant, so Mara went along as a bodyguard. She'd also wanted to see Monor II's glittering, cirrofog-laden atmosphere.
"You wore a black mask and black robes," Jaina said. "What happened to your slave, that mousy little man?"
The creature's lips peeled back in a sneer.
"Shock Tinoctin was well rewarded for faithful service."
Mara glanced around the laboratory. Even if Anor had biological weapons in plain sight, she might not recognize them. But she would love to catch him alive. She'd made a science of stomping on massive egos, of throwing people off guard and probing for their weaknesses.
"So the petty troublemaker is making petty trouble again,"
she said, raising one eyebrow.
"Petty?"
He reached toward the lab bench.
"Freeze," she ordered. "Pick anything up and you're dead."
His fingers twitched toward the flask, the one he had been holding when she entered the room.
"You couldn't reach me before I threw this. It's full of coom spores, Jade Skywalker. The spores I painted on 100 abominable breath masks before that outdoor ceremony."
Mara's stomach lurched.
"They didn't all sicken right away," she recalled.
She'd fallen ill 2 months later.
"The epidemiologists eventually concluded multiple causes."
But that occasion had been fingered as the single time all those sick people were in one place. He laughed.
"They were meant to conclude that. The coom spore's sheath dissolves at different rates in different species. This is your worst fear, Jedi.
His fingers twitched again.
Relapse, weakness, death. A much higher dose than before, and that was fatal in all other cases, all species.
In that instant, she realized how vulnerable she was. If she got sick now, her child could be destroyed, if he wasn't already doomed. Honor could infect Jaina, too. Jaina had other senses than eyesight, but she was in no shape for hand-to-hand combat against someone who couldn't be sensed through the Force, and whose weapon was suspended in a liquid.
"You never answered my question,"
he called.
"Why are you still alive?"
"You're the last one I'd tell." Vergere was still out there. Somewhere. "Get back, Jaina." Then Mara lunged, slicing low with her lightsaber. Only a feint. But instead of returning her attack, he turned and fled. Not up the passage where they'd come, but beyond the lab counter, toward a smaller door. He left the flask on the countertop. Her impulse was to chase him down. "Trap!" her instincts shrieked. "Don't follow!" Then her danger sense went off like a siren. She hesitated as Jaina sprinted around the laboratory bench. She had to make the right call. 3 lives were at stake, and only 1 was in fighting trim. "Blast," she muttered, kicking the elevated heels off her fancy shoes. "Jaina, this way!" She spun toward the passage where they'd come in. 3 retorts, like ricocheting projectile shots, sounded overhead. Startled, she glanced up. A crack opened in the stony ceiling. It branched, branched again and again. She waved Jaina toward the tunnel, crying, "Run!" A chunk of stone hit the floor beside her. Jaina reached the doorway. All around them, ceiling, walls, soft rock crumbled. Mara pushed Jaina ahead of her, reaching deep inside herself, trying to divert each stone as it fell. She split a dozen with her lightsaber, but they fell too thickly. As rock dust choked off the light ahead and behind her, she pushed Jaina down, fell on her, and pushed out with the Force. She kept the presence of mind to extinguish her lightsaber. The noise went on, like a powerful waterfall, for several age-long seconds. Jaina rolled out from under her. She'd killed her lightsaber, too. In utter darkness, Mara couldn't see what Jaina was doing, but she did hear a plaintive, "Ow!" "Hit your head?" Mara asked quietly.
"Slightly."
Momentary silence.
"You're keeping that up with the Force?"
"No. Just my radiant personality." She softened her voice. "Do you still have the rebreathers?"
"Yes, here."
"Keep mine for now." Mara rose to a crouch, planted her hands against hard stone, and tried pushing up harder with the Force. If only a small stonefall surrounded them, it ought to move. Or shift, at least. It didn't.
10 to 1, she grumbled. "He brought his own kind of rock chewers here to Duro. He dug out his own side tunnel, and while he did, he set traps for Leia's security people."
Jaina's voice sounded sour.
"You retreated because of me, didn't you? We could have taken him. We could have killed him right there."
"I'll get that creature, if it's the last thing I do." Mara hadn't hated anyone this desperately since, well, since Luke Skywalker. A lifetime ago.
"Luke?"
She stretched out and felt his concern.
"I'm all right,"
she assured him.
"For now. Don't drop what you're doing just yet."
He wouldn't catch words, only sensation. But he would catch a lot of that. Jaina said,
"There's a good chance the rock falls shorter back the way he went."
"Point," Mara said.
"And that it's also the way he wanted us to go."
Her instincts had warned her. and she would face 100 other horrors before she let that Sith spawn expose her child to his deadly spores. Maybe the flask held something else, this time. But she'd heard truth in his boast. He had infected her. The same instincts were finally blaring loud and clear that it was no Yuuzhan Vong bioweapon deep inside her body. It was a normal, defenseless child. A skycrawler, as Leia had teased optimistically shortly after her wedding. She thumbed her comlink, though she didn't have much hope.
Leia, do you copy?
Silence.
Hello, Gateway. This is an emergency. Does anyone read me?
Nothing. The stone was too thick.
I think the air smells strange, Aunt Mara.
Put your breather on. Had that flask on the countertop shattered?
We're not getting any dust through this force bubble. I don't honestly know what else might get through, but probably not microbes.
Then she said,
I need you to join with me, so I can nudge the bubble higher in the direction we want to go. I'll try to slide rocks off the back of the bubble while I lift other rocks ahead of us, and I'll fill in those gaps before the ceiling collapses any lower. Do you see what I've got in mind?
Do you think it'll work?
Jaina sounded dubious. Mara frowned.
I'd love to hear your better plan.
After several seconds, Jaina answered glumly,
Can you picture what it is you want to do?
I'm working on it.
Visualizing this wrong would flatten their bubble of safety. She needed to move about 100 rocks simultaneously up, over, and behind them. Then another 100, and another. It could take hours.
Open to me, Jaina. The way you used to do in training.
She was glad they'd grabbed the masks.